Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
But we had to hit on this, Danny, because this feels like a sea change as far as the college landscape in the Commonwealth of Virginia and in the DMV, a fan base pool. Blacksburg is certainly not DMV adjacent, but there are tons of Hokies fans listening in and around Virginia right now. And what a hire for Virginia Tech. ESPN's Pete Thamel reporting they are finalizing a deal to hire James Franklin as their next head coach. Tech, which has not won 8 games since 2019, which has not won double-digit games since 2016. They have fallen on really hard times post Frank Beamer. Justin Fuente came in here, and they were a 500-ish team at the end. They go to Brent Pry, and they have gone 3-8, 7-6, 6-7, and now 3-7 after he started 0-3 and was blown out. Interim coach Philip Montgomery's 3-4. They played in the Military and Duke's Mayo Bowl the last 2 years.
Yeah, 2 bowl wins in the last 9 years for Virginia Tech. The leftovers of Frank Beamer's program, they went 10-4, 9-4, and haven't been that good since.
And by the way, the bowls are not good bowls.
No, you're talking about a decade. A decade where Virginia Tech, in their minds and in fans' minds, has simply not been Virginia Tech. You're losing the Camping World Bowl. You're winning the Belk Bowl. This is not where they think they should be.
So in a cycle where LSU needs a head coach, yep, and Florida needs a head coach, and maybe Lane Kiffin's jumping from Ole Miss, and there's going to be some real star power in terms of programs needing new head men, for them to be able to go out there as an also-ran, I mean, JMU has overtaken them in the state of Virginia in terms of football over the last few years. Virginia this year in the ACC has overtaken them. They have been one of the really inept schools in terms of football over the last several seasons. They've fallen on really hard times. For them to land James Franklin, who is the butt of jokes and everybody makes fun of because he can't win the big game, I think is a gigantic win. Like, there are two different conversations can be had. James Franklin at Penn State had run the race and had lost enough of those huge games where, as good as they were, the best in the conference, not Ohio State or Michigan, and they just couldn't get over the hump against the Buckeyes and the Wolverines. And in top 5 and top 10 games for years, they always seem to come up small. And it felt like while Franklin got that program into the top 15, the top 10, maybe he either wasn't the guy to get him over the hump to win national championships. Maybe that's not what they are anymore. But you understand why he's out of a job there. But there's a big difference between that and him being anything other than a gigantic win for Virginia Tech. Penn State had started to dominate Tech in recruiting in the Tidewater and in the 757. They were getting all the players in Virginia in that area that Tech used to get. Franklin can now help build that back up, recruit those players, and you go to the ACC where you're not going to have as many big games to worry about losing. You know, it's NC State when they're hot, or Virginia or Miami for a year or what have you, Clemson if they're up with Dabo, but this is not the SEC.
No,
or the Big Ten.
It's not even close.
You're leveling down. You could get them back into the ACC title game conversation soon. They could be a fringe playoff team year in and year out. As you just saw a week or two ago, Virginia was ranked and in the playoffs. Virginia Tech could absolutely be back there with James Franklin. I think this is outkicking their coverage. They're landing a 9 right now as someone that you thought was going to get like a 6.
Yeah, this is a slam dunk for them, talking about Virginia Tech. And it requires Virginia Tech fans to acknowledge where they are. If you do, then you go, yep, this is great. Because James Franklin, we've got enough data now that sort of proves it. You referenced it, GP. He is not the guy to get you over the hump, quote-unquote, which is that national title, that college football final. Even though they were in the college semifinal last year, I think it was more a fortuitous draw than it was they were a legit contender. But still, you won 13 games last season. That's not a fluke. They've been double-digit winners, a lot of 10-win, 11-win seasons on his resume, talking about James Franklin. He's not the guy to get you over the hump to win the Natty. If you need to travel to get to the hump, James Franklin's the guy. Ask Virginia Tech. Ask Penn State from when he came in and took over. Virginia Tech has to do a lot of work to get to the hump. This is the guy for that. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times, it all sort of depends on where your program is. This is true with any sport, with any even pro sports. Sometimes you need the guy before the guy that makes the organization serious, that establishes professionalism, that sort of makes it so that the next person to come in can take this team and put them over the top. Think of the guy before Phil Jackson, the guy before Steve Kerr, who actually happened to be Mark Jackson. You make it professional, and then maybe one day, if you're that good for that long, you find the white knight to come in and take you over the top. But right now, Virginia Tech needs a lot of cleanup. You touched on it. The path is there. If you can hang with Clemson, Florida State some years, Miami some years, the ACC is not the Big Ten. Full stop, period, end of story, nor is it the SEC, where he has had some success talking about Franklin. This energetic hire, a guy that's anxious to prove that Penn State was wrong and he was right by building another program that was, it's not that far removed from some pretty significant glory, is the perfect hire for him to kind of go do it, because you mentioned the access, how easy the road is. I put that in quotes.
Well, there's a multiverse.
And for the school, yeah.
Where Penn State didn't start 3-3 and was in the conversation right now for the national championship. Handful of plays go differently and their season goes differently. And instead, you go 3-3 and he gets fired and it's disgrace, right? I mean, people are making jokes about you. But they were 13-3 last year. They're a college football playoff team that gets, you know, to a Fiesta Bowl and wins and then eventually loses in the Orange Bowl. They're 10-3 the year before that, 11-2 the year before that. How about 11 or more wins five times for him? In fact, six times with, yep, Penn State dating back to 2016. And we're talking the biggest bowls that exist where they're getting and they're in those conversations as a national championship caliber team. Now, his problem at Penn State, the undoing for him was quarterback. He could not solve the riddle. He just couldn't figure it out, whether it's Sean Clifford or Drew Allard or all these dudes that came through there. They could never get a top-of-the-line QB. Think about the guys that have been drafted or haven't been, frankly, at the top of the board out of Penn State. The rest of the roster, he did a pretty good job with. They've gotten a lot of dudes into the NFL defensively on both lines, skill position guys, wide receivers, running backs, but he hasn't been able to find a quarterback. So that's going to be the challenge. It's what he's going to have to figure out at Tech. But you're leveling down in competition significantly, and as one of the biggest fishes swimming in whatever, you know, water the ACC is, if the joke used to be, you don't belong in these waters, don't worry about that. The ACC ain't the same as the Big Ten. It's right. Not the same as the SEC. Ask Maryland, by the way. I thought they were past being able to get a coach like Franklin, to be honest with you. I mean, the recent program, Justin Fuente from Memphis, you know, Brent Pry, who comes over there and has the run that he just did as their head coach, are you kidding me? For them to get James Franklin, I would not have thought that Franklin would take the Tech job. I would have thought he could have done better. But as I think about it, it might actually be the perfect bounce-back job for him.
And I think it is.
If it goes well in 5 years, maybe you could go get an SEC or a Big Ten
job.
Well,
it makes sense for all the parties involved. So Virginia Tech, to me, had been relegated to that, to the Justin Fuente, Brent Pry tier. In other words, the you know, maybe you got a guess right on a Cignetti from James Madison before the rest of the country figures out that the guy's great. You got to find that next great guy, and maybe he grows into something, right? You weren't able to grab the established name unless something like this was happening, especially in this hiring cycle, by the way, Jeeps. I mean, you mentioned it already, but this is the most high-profile jobs available that I can remember in this new era of college football with all the buyouts. And there's, you know, some really, really good guys are going to have their pick of the litter when it comes to the gigs they want. I didn't know that Virginia Tech would be able to do this until I started to think about it from Franklin's perspective. This place that's football crazed, with as passionate and enthusiastic a fan base as you're going to find, that it's what they've got down that part of southwestern Virginia. You got a great sort of built-in bit of fan support. The school's behind it. It's their bread and butter. It's the ACC. The path is there for recruiting. The path is there for consistent winning. You get to rebuild yourself. You build yet another program. Thinking about what he did at Vanderbilt that got him the gig at Penn State. And all of a sudden I kind of went, that path actually makes sense for him, right, in terms of his career. Use each other. If you're Virginia Tech, you're damn right. If you're James Franklin, I think so too. Everyone can have their eyes wide open here and say, you build something for us, we'll all benefit, and then maybe go on your merry way, as you said, to an SEC school or back into the Big Ten or whatever.
Yeah, if you're a Tech fan, you want to hop in to discuss the news, you can call us now at 800-636-1067. You know, I had gotten to a point where I thought they were either going to have to get cute, hiring one of their own. You know, my buddy who goes to Tech kept saying he wanted Michael Vick, and I'm like, no, you don't. Look at the success, is actually the lack of success he's having right now as a coach. But you had guys like D'Angelo Hall, who I love, throwing their name into the hat going, hey, if we're doing this, DeSean Jackson's a head coach. Let's follow Deion Sanders' way of operating thing. Why couldn't I be the head coach there? I was a DB's coach for the Panthers, and that didn't sound like the craziest thing in the world to me, the way college football's going. But to be able to go out and get James Franklin. Now, will there be a few people that make a couple of jokes? Sure. They're misinformed and they're ridiculous. He's not getting the job at LSU or Florida. You know, he's not getting the job at Ole Miss if Lane Kiffin leaves, these top five type programs. I mean, Virginia Tech should be thrilled, and I'm sure that program feels this way, to go get James Franklin. We could react to that and continue to talk about Franklin to Tech if you'd like to at 800-636-1067.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. You're listening right here on The Fan. You're streaming with us on YouTube. You're watching us on Monumental Sports Network. Wherever you get the content, we appreciate it.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
Excited to talk some college football. It's obviously the Commanders' bye week. I want to catch up on all things college football. And I think the biggest news in the last few days is Virginia Tech making what to me is a really good hire. Helping us make sense of all of it is Grace Rayner. Grace covers college football for The Athletic. You can give her a follow at GM Rayner, R-A-Y-N-O-R. And Grace joins us via the Rood guest hotline. Rood makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Grace, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We are fantastic.
Thank you for the time today. Let's start with what I think is a home run hire for the Hokies in James Franklin. How does it work with Penn State? How fast does he hit the ground running in Blacksburg? And what do you think he can do for that Hokie program that has kind of faded to irrelevance?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this is a home run hire for Virginia Tech. And I know we say that a lot in college football, right? He'll have his press conference tomorrow, and I'm sure he'll win the press conference. And we have a tendency to get ahead of ourselves in college football. But I really do think that this hire makes a ton of sense. This is a program that has such passion and a rich history, but to your point, has just been struggling for the last 15 years and just can't seem to get over the hump. And you take a guy like James Franklin, who has a ton of recruiting ties to this area. Honestly, Penn State recruited Virginia better than Virginia Tech did these past several years. He's a proven builder. We saw how he took Vanderbilt to 9 wins for the first time since, I think it was like 1915 in his second year there. It just makes a lot of sense. He knows how to win at the highest level. He comes from the Big Ten, so he knows what Virginia Tech is going to need from a resources and infrastructure standpoint. I think Virginia Tech they've got to feel pretty stoked about this hire.
How many years did he get in this deal? That hadn't been released yet.
What's that? Oh, his contract details have not been released yet. Okay. We do know that his buyout from Penn State was going to be about $49 million, and I think it's gone down to $9 million with offsetting with the new job. So that might give us a little hint into maybe what he's working with at Virginia Tech, but the details, at least as far as I know, I don't think we've seen the details yet.
Okay. So the money Penn State was on the hook for, whatever VTech guarantees, cancels off out of that, I guess?
Yeah, it'll offset. I think it was in his contract that if you get a new job, it will offset part of this buyout that we owe you. And then it went from 49 to 9. So I guess they negotiated that down after he signed the deal with Virginia Tech.
Is that maybe why Penn State wanted to make the firing early so that he could get I mean, because he's an attractive candidate. Maybe they knew, hey, if we get this guy out there, he'll get snapped up quick.
I think Penn State went into this season thinking this was going to be their year, right? I mean, they've come so close, and the big knock on him is that he hasn't been able to win the big one.
Right.
And this was kind of supposed to be it. And they really invested in their roster, and they got all these guys to come back instead of going to the NFL or the portal. And so when it all fell apart for them in late September, early October, I think they were just as stunned as the rest of us. You know, you see Penn State lose that game to Oregon, and you think, okay, their playoff hopes are not over. This is still a team that can very much compete for a playoff spot. And then the wheels just absolutely fell off with the loss to UCLA and Northwestern in back-to-back weeks. So I think Penn State got to a point where they could no longer – I just think they didn't have enough faith in thinking that he could get over the hump. I mean, we all know his record against top 25 programs, against top 10. It's not good. He's, you know, that's the biggest knock on him, is he can't win the big one. And so I think they just got to the point where they just felt like, if it wasn't going to be this year, when was it going to be? And then it just was no longer tenable once those UCLA and Northwestern losses came in.
Yeah, I think the hype on Aller was far over. Blown, but whatever. What's done is done. There's so many musical chairs, and we're talking big programs, right? I want to get to Florida, LSU, all of it, but what does Penn State do now?
That's a great question. I think we're all really curious to see who Penn State hires, especially because you're right. This is a super saturated market. I mean, if you're in the market for a college football coach this season, good luck, you know. And I think if you're a team who's thinking about firing your coach, maybe you hold on and reassess it next year, because now you're competing with Florida, with LSU, with Auburn, Arkansas, Oklahoma State's open. I mean, there's just UCLA still hasn't been filled. And so there's just a ton of movement in this carousel. So I'm curious to see where Penn State goes. I would guess that this is a program that, obviously, they're a historic program. They're in the Big Ten. I would think that they could command a sitting head coach already. I'll be curious to see if they go the coordinator route or the NFL route, but certainly they've got the cachet to command a sitting head coach. But yeah, I'm really curious, because whoever does take that Penn State job is walking into a situation where expectations are really clear. I mean, James Franklin was winning double-digit games, and that wasn't enough. And so... and he was in the semifinals a year ago, a couple plays away from a national championship bid. So whoever does take that job is walking into a situation where this school, this program, is really demanding the best now.
Well, Grace, the landscape has totally changed in college football. You can go and get the top-notch coaches. You better be willing to pay some players to come with them. Is Penn State set up well enough? Well, I think they are. They just don't like to spend it on the right people when in the NIL situation.
I think if you're in the Big Ten or the SEC, you're in great shape. Just looking at the landscape of college football, you want to be in one of those two conferences. But yeah, I mean, you look at Penn State's alumni base, it's one of the biggest in the country, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I would think that they would have all the resources they would need, everything they would need to be competitive. We saw them really invest in their roster this offseason. That's why they were able to retain so much of their talent. And so I think the investment is there. The resources are there. They just got to find the right person to see if they can get over the hump with some of these top 10 matchups, and see if maybe they can take them to another championship.
Do you think Virginia Tech will spend the money they need to?
That, I think, is a really important question in all of this. Virginia Tech has come out and said that they are going to be investing $229 million into their budget plan over the next 4 years for the athletic department. And they've made it very clear that they want to make Virginia Tech one of the most competitive programs in the ACC. So the investment is there. I think there's been some questions about, well, why did it take this long for them to kind of buck up in that way, considering when the landscape started changing in 2019, 2020, 2021. Mm-hmm. But they certainly signaled that they want to be competitive. I think they've got a long way to go in terms of facilities. They don't have their own standalone facility right now. They're still sharing with some other sports. But this is a really passionate, you guys know, I mean, it's a really passionate fan base. And yes, it's a program that wants to give football everything it can, right? Like, it's a starving group of people that so badly want to see the Hokies competitive. And so I think they're willing to back Franklin, give him what he needs to the extent that they can.
So just real quick, one more local before we go down south. Maryland comes out, the AD Jim Smith, I loved how he handled it, just to come out and get in front of it and say, we're keeping locks, we're going to invest. What do you make of the Terps move, and how do they compete in the Big Ten?
Yeah, the Big Ten's tough, right? I mean, it's just a loaded conference, but I think it was, I think this is not the year, if you're kind of on the fence, right, not the year to fire your coach, because it is so competitive. And so I can see why they say maybe we stick with him for another year. Maybe they don't have to compete with a million other schools to hire a new coach. I think what he's done on the recruiting trail has been really, really impressive. They've got the number two recruit in the country committed to their class right now. He's a five-star defensive end. I think in your guys' neck of the woods, I think he's from D.C.
He's from Baltimore,
Baltimore, okay. Yep. So Zion's committed to them. And so I think that was a big part of it, too, is you just look at what he's done on the recruiting trail, and this is an impressive group. It's an impressive class. And if you're kind of on the fence and you're not quite sure what you want to do, I think keeping him, trying to keep this roster intact, keep your recruiting class intact, should hopefully help them.
Just as a Terp alum, it's like you got Auburn, LSU, Florida, Penn State, Arkansas is able to throw so much money. Like, this ain't the year to be shopping.
No, it's not.
In my mind.
So as you look at the two schools down there in Florida and LSU, who seems to be leading the way to become a coach of one of those schools?
Yeah, I think if you're, it's a good time to be Lane Kiffin, right? he seems to be the biggest candidate. We saw some reporting come out yesterday that Ole Miss is kind of ready for him to make a decision. I think they've given him a little bit of an ultimatum and want to have a decision from him by the Egg Bowl next week. Florida and LSU are courting him and the fam. So, I think without knowing for certain how these administrators are thinking, I would guess if you're an SEC program, Lane Kiffin is probably your top choice, just given what he's done at Ole Miss and the way that he's built that program up and the way he recruits and uses the transfer portal. So, I'm curious to see kind of where they go. Obviously, they're two huge jobs, right? They're in the SEC. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of history. Two other schools that can command a pretty decent market. But Lane Kiffin does seem to be in the driver's seat for the carousel, as well as where he stands with Ole Miss.
Dude, if I was Lane, isn't there something to – now, I know Oxford's a beautiful town, but I also know it's a small town. Mm-hmm. Isn't there something to just being the man there, doing something nobody's ever done there, rather than adding the pressure of LSU or Florida? Or is there just that much more money?
With a bigger paycheck, and you can make a name for yourself there, too?
Is there just that much more money if he leaves?
I mean, I think that Ole Miss would, because Lane has done so much at Ole Miss, like, I would be surprised if they didn't match whatever offer he was given elsewhere. Now, he has said in the past, it's actually not so much about how much you're making as a coach, but how much money do you now have for a roster? But Lane has made it very clear he loves Oxford, and he's really happy there. His family's moved there. He's gotten the chance to see his kids for the first time in a long time. His son, Knox, is a high school quarterback in Oxford who's playing really well. His daughter, Landry, is a student at Ole Miss. His family lives in Oxford now, and so you see, obviously, we've seen Lane Kiffin go through so much, right? I mean, this guy has really gone through a lot in his life, but he does seem to be happy, calm. You can just see the difference in his demeanor. So I'm curious if that's enough to keep him there, but you can tell he is really happy there.
Yeah, I remember hearing Nick Saban saying he wasn't leaving Alabama. He LSU, and he
also wasn't going to leave the Dolphins.
Hey, I was just saying, money talk. All these coaches can say what they want. You put a little bit more money, give them a little bit more control, they will leave anywhere.
It does. I think a lot of these coaches want to know, what are we working with from an NIL standpoint and from a standpoint of how much can we invest in our roster? Because that's where college football is right now, right? Yeah. If you don't invest, you can't compete. And that's just the reality of where we are.
So let's just operate from a place. We're talking with Grace Rayner from The Athletic. You can give Grace a follow at GM Rayner. Covers college football for The Athletic. Does a great job. Let's just operate from a place of Lane stays at Ole Miss. Obviously, LSU, Florida are huge jobs. Auburn's a big job. I think Arkansas, between Walmart and the chicken people, the amount of money Arkansas can throw around is pretty significant. Yeah. What is the best job, and who becomes the best candidate? Like, is the Vanderbilt dude going to leave? North Texas, the JMU coach? Like, or is it some hot assistant, Brian Hartline at Ohio State? Like, how does it continue to shift if Lane sticks?
Yeah, I think from there they all sort of figure out, all right, we're going to reset, and if Lane stays put, who are we going to next? I think the JMU coach is a hot candidate, Bob Chesney. There's been some buzz for him in UCLA, I believe. Alex Golish at USF has done a good job. To your point, Brian Hartline. Yeah, it's just, I think it's an interesting time in the carousel because in some ways, a lot of these coaches are just kind of playing musical jobs, right? There's so many, because there's so many openings, there's also so many sitting head coaches who are now trying to go get a job again. And so I'll be curious to see, do people go the coordinator route, or are they going to try to go the sitting head coach route? I mean, Brian Kelly, Billy Napier, these guys are also on the market right now. Do they get big time jobs? Do they have to take a smaller job? So I'm just as fascinated as you guys are. I think Chesney is a really fascinating candidate. I think one of the things that will be super interesting will be whoever takes over these big time jobs, whether they're coming from a group of five or they're coming from a coordinator position, do they have the leverage and the confidence and the knowledge they need to really spar with the administration when they need to about, this is what I need, these are the resources that I need. That's where a sitting head coach can really come in handy. They kind of understand how this works and what they need.
Is Billy Napier still a big name? I know he was at UL, he was winning a lot of games. Went to Florida, he never reached what they wanted him to reach. I don't see, do you think another school of Florida's caliber would say, hey, come get a shot over here?
I don't think so. I think if okay. I had to guess, I would guess Napier probably has to take a step back. I think he was at, there were some reports the other day, he was hanging out at Georgia for a little bit. He and Kirby are pals. But yeah, I don't know that I would see Napier becoming another Power 5 head coach. Florida has had just so many struggles, and they had obviously that big win against Texas, and they recruited decently well. But yeah, I would imagine that he's probably going to have to take a little bit of a step back.
Any chance Urban or Saban come back?
I would be very surprised.
On either?
On either, I would. Saban seems to be living his best life on College game day. he's got nothing else to prove. He retired right as college football was going through so much of these changes, right? I mean, so much of his job.
B likes to say he ran away.
That's fair.
I mean,
it's different. It's just a completely different job now. And so, so much of it is, and we've seen it with the portal, with conference realignment. So much of it is, what conference are you in? How much resources does your donor base have? Do you have the money you need to get the players you want? And so in some ways, the actual coaching is now taking a little bit of a back seat to just being a CEO. And so Saban seems to be living his best life. I love watching him on game day. He's got his national championships. I would be very surprised if he came back. I haven't really heard much about Urban. I guess maybe never say never with anything in college football or anything in sports in general. I mean, I never thought Bill Belichick would be in the ACC this time a year ago. So, you know, we've seen crazier things happen, but I would be surprised to see either of them back in college football.
He ran, Jay. This is the thing. I always have an issue when people have control over everything, they gung-ho. When they lose a little bit of it and they have to do the same things their players have to do, they seem to hightail. That's running. Whether it's Saban,
it is shifting,
or whoever.
Yeah.
Listen, when that pressure changed, where now the pressure's on him to have to compete with everybody, had the same level playing field, he said, okay, I retire now.
One more that I'm interested in. Any chance Marcus Freeman would leave Notre Dame? I imagine he would be the absolute hottest candidate available.
For who?
I would imagine he would also be a great candidate. I haven't heard anything about Freeman potentially leaving. He's got quite a nice setup at Notre Dame. I mean, they've maintained their independence. They've obviously got every resource in the world. Freeman is an Ohio State grad, so and Ohio State doesn't seem to be opening up anytime soon. So that one would surprise me. They're making a college football playoff push right now. I think he's a really good fit in South Bend. I think that fan base likes him a lot, and he's definitely got a good thing going.
Yeah. What to you is the best open job?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think 2 weeks ago, before the governor of Louisiana got involved, I probably would have said LSU.
Jeez.
And then the governor got involved and the school's administration was kind of a mess. And it definitely raised some red flags about alignment and just kind of what's going on here. And why is the government have the governor having a press conference where he's talking about how the athletic director won't be hiring the next football coach.
Why they fired that guy?
Fired. Yeah.
So he should have never gave. He should have never gave what's called a 10-year deal off the bat.
So yeah. So I think LSU is a little less attractive than I thought it was a couple weeks ago. So I think I would say Florida. You're in the SEC. You've got the resources, and you're in a really fertile area for recruiting. So I think if I was a sitting head coach, Gainesville is a lovely place to live, and there's no state income tax in Florida. So I think that'd be my pick if I was a sitting head coach.
And then lastly, and we may not have time for this, but what the hell is this Big Ten private equity, Michigan and USC are trying to sue their way out? Like what is going on with that?
That is a great question that I need to read up on myself, because I saw a couple of headlines about that yesterday. I haven't fully dived into that yet, but that is college football in 2025, right? It's just ever changing. People are always looking for new avenues and new ways to generate revenue. This is just kind of where we are right now. But yeah, I myself need to do my homework on that.
What a world. Well, thank you, Grace, for the, you know what's crazy?
USC just got there, right?
Right.
We just already trying to go?
We just did more than 20 minutes talking college football, and we didn't talk a single thing about a game. Like, about a game this weekend. How good is Ohio
State? We're talking about the game before the game.
Right.
Yeah.
The coach is getting their cheddar.
Right now. Yeah. It's that's what I think has made college football so entertaining and, like, must-see. It's just such a spectacle at all times. It is. There's nothing like it. And it's the most lovable circus in town.
If you're going to compete with the NFL, you got to be as crazy as they are.
Yeah. You think anybody beats Ohio State? On the field?
I think it's gonna be tough. I'm really curious to see how Indiana and Ohio State would maybe match up. But yeah, I mean, Ohio State this year has been the least talked about number one team in the country that I can remember in a while. They are just an absolute machine that we almost have just kind of focused on other teams elsewhere because they've been that good. So I've got my money on Ohio State. If I'm a better, I'm probably putting my money down on the Buckeyes.
Yeah, it's smart. They got to beat Michigan, though. I mean, that continues to be.
They do have to beat Michigan. Ryan Day cannot lose to Michigan again.
No. Hey, Grace, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks,
we'd love to do it again sometime.
Yeah, thank you all so much for having me. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate it.
All right. Grace Rayner, give her a follow at GM Rayner, RAYNOR. Kind enough to join us via the Rude Guest Hotline. We got to talk a little bit more Washington. It's a bye week, but there's plenty to discuss with these Commanders. Nobody go anywhere.
Andy Bitter joins us from Tech Sideline to break down what was a pretty big deal yesterday for the Virginia Tech Hokies. James Franklin, all but committed here. What can you tell us, Andy? How did they land?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
And this big fish.
I think it was just perseverance. It sounds like the committee was on him pretty quickly after, you know, fired from Penn State, and, you know, he became their number one target pretty much early on. They pressed and pressed and wanted to get this thing done early, eventually got it done fairly early. November 17th is still pretty early in a coaching search. And, you know, I think it's a good marriage here. A guy who knows the Mid-Atlantic, recruits this area well, proven winner in the past, and a Virginia Tech program that, you know, needs to get back to some base level of competency here.
How good of a hire is it?
I think it's really good. I mean, when they fired Brent Pry, Virginia Tech, that is, James Franklin was the head coach of the number two team in the country, coming off a season where he made the college football playoff semifinals and was 2 minutes away from making the championship game. This coach would never have been thought to have been available to Virginia Tech earlier this season. So the fact that they came away with this coach in the long run here. I think it's, you know, a little bit of fate that happens. Like, you know, a coach like this doesn't happen all the time. And then the situation was just right, you know, fit his profile, where he's recruited in the past, you know, this infusion of cash coming into the program here from the Board of Visitors. I think there's a lot of things to like about it, and I think it should work well.
You mentioned that infusion of cash. How sustainable is that? In other words, let's say for the sake of argument that Franklin, you know, year one, the results aren't necessarily there yet, right? Does that valve get shut off, or do you think this is who Virginia Tech is in terms of that flow of money, and they're committed to a longer haul approach?
I think they're committed to a longer haul. I honestly think that, you know, originally I kind of wondered how they're going to get to the 230, and, you know, they earmarked $30 million of that each year in donations. Like, well, that's a pretty big ask on top of your typical donations that you have. But now that you get somebody like Franklin in here, I think that really, you know, juices things for the boosters here. I think people want to open up their pocketbooks for a coach like that who, you know, really has excited the fan base in this last 24 hours here. So I would imagine the donations are rolling in right now. I think they'll have a pretty good war chest here, NIL-wise and otherwise, to hire staffs that, you know, success comes as a result of investing in a program like that. So I think it'll be real interesting to watch here in the next couple of years. I think it might work.
Andy Bitter on the Hokies. I want to drill down a little more on Franklin's end game. If it goes well here, I mean, how quickly would he be a candidate at one of the top programs in America? And what do you think his interest is in climbing back to that level?
You know, it's tough to say at this point. You know, who knows if he gets rolling here at Virginia Tech, if he just likes it and enjoys the spot, or if he has ambitions to jump back to a bigger program. I think if I'm Virginia Tech, I don't really worry about that. I just want a coach to come in and give me my program back, right? They're kind of like Buzz Williams did in basketball. I think a lot of people knew that Buzz Williams wasn't a long-haul coaching hire for the basketball team, but got him to the Sweet 16 one year and really gave Duke a run for its money that one year with Zion Williamson. And they got a basketball program back. And, yeah, Buzz Williams moved on somewhere else, but I think that's a fair trade-off. So I don't think in this era you can look at these coaches in terms of, you know, 10 years or anything like that. You know, give me a couple good years and then see where you're at that point. And if Virginia Tech's winning games again, I don't think people really care.
What's a realistic expectation within the first couple of years here that we're talking about?
I think the expectation the first couple of years is to be an ACC contender pretty quickly. I mean, look at who's at the top of the ACC right now. It's not Clemson and Florida State and Miami. It's Georgia Tech and Virginia and Pittsburgh and SMU. I mean, this is not an insurmountable conference here that they did. Oh, there's just no way you can win this league. No, it's there for the taking right now. All these sort of top tier programs are scuffling along. Virginia Tech, historically being one of them, is right in that mix there, has not been playing great lately. So, you know, with the transfer portal and all the money being thrown around right now, I don't think you can sit here and say it's going to take 3 years. I think it needs to be a pretty quick turnaround for people to get a return on investment here.
Andy, thank you. Very, very good info. Huge day for Virginia Tech.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
We appreciate you.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you,
buddy. Got it.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network and brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Join us right now to talk some college football. It's Mike Locksley, Terps head football coach. He's presented by IT Cadre, trusted insight from trusted insiders. IT Cadre, What's going on, Coach?
What's going on, fellas? How you guys doing?
You know, often well. We talk Thanks. To you about the mood of the team. You guys have lost six in a row. What is the mood of Mike Locksley?
It's the mood of the team. I mean, we're all super disappointed in the slide we've been in, but still super encouraged because if you look at the makeup of this team and seeing the fact that we've got so many talented young players, I think we're being led in rushing by a freshman running back. The leading passers are freshmen. You look on the defensive side of the ball, we've got a bunch of young guys that have really made an impact and just have not been able to sustain it, and depth has shown up for us right now. But the best part about it is the kids continue to encourage me with how they show up and play.
You know, I'm curious, and I don't even know how much you can talk about this, but we talk so much about how college football's changed with the NIL and the transfer portal. When you're a team that has young players like Malik Washington, your quarterback, or your running back that you point out, aren't you afraid, or like, how do you deal with other teams poaching them?
No, I'm not afraid of it at all. That's part of the business. But what's been encouraging for me is, you know, a year ago this time, we lost a bunch of players because we didn't have a plan and we didn't have necessarily all the resources in place that we needed to retention or for retention. We have a plan and we've executed quite a bit. I don't feel that we will lose any of the people that have shown as young players the ability to have an impact because resources have been provided. We as a athletic department, these kids like playing here. They enjoy being in our program. They see what the future is. And, I mean, to me, that's what really has been the encouraging part as we've fought through this tough stretch.
So for people that hopefully have been paying attention, you got a big vote of confidence, I guess, from the AD, right? You're going to get another year for sure, you know, with this contract. You're going to get more financial, commitment from the university. How important is that to you? And, you know, do you feel like you'll be at a competitive advantage with where they're coming from financially at this point?
You know, first and foremost, as I've said yesterday, you know, obviously a new boss coming in who I did not have a prior relationship to.
Right.
He walked in the door and basically didn't have we were hiring a basketball coach or just hired one.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this new college landscape we're in. For us and for me, last year was really my first year of the NIL world. And some people have been doing NIL and rev share for 2-3 years now. And so he walked in and saw ILOC. We had probably the biggest number of players hit the portal a year ago because of the resources. But when he walked in, we had a team, which is why I've talked about the 64 new players that weren't here a year ago. And, you know, a lot of times they say, well, you're in year seven. I am in year seven, but I've got 64% of my team that is in year one here. And mm-hmm. I think if you look at the product that we've shown in terms of the talented young players we have, the future look bright.
But you feel like, will you be financially where you need to be to take that next step?
You know what? I grew up not having a lot. I don't know if you know. I grew up. I went to Ballou High School. I grew up on the South Side, so I'm used to having to make a lot out of a little, and we've done that around here. And I think that's what Jim has seen. That's what Diana has both witnessed. That we've done a pretty good job in terms of we became a bowl eligible team consistently for a while, and then NIL landscape kicked in. So I think what they're going to do is try to provide me the resources we need to see if we can make a run.
Right.
Coach, though, Cakes has been to your house a couple times. He says he got a nice pool.
Oh, yeah, nice spring.
When's the last time Coach has taken a dip in his pool? Now, it's obviously winter. Do you do it a lot in the summer?
You know, I live in the backyard in the summer. This time of year, we just keep the hot tub going. For me,
right.
It's a part of my wellness, you know, to deal with a 6-game losing streak, you better have ways to take care of your mentals.
What about right? Pickleball? I saw that pickleball court, too. I hope you're out there pickling, Coach, when you have some spare time.
I got two knee replacements, so we're going to keep the pickleball on hold, but okay. I can still win a game of horse on the basketball court.
Okay.
All right, ooh. So, Coach,
maybe that's a challenge, Cakes.
Well, you think you wouldn't smoke me in horse?
I have no idea.
Or any athletic endeavor?
Coach, when you're in the hot tub with your wife or whatever, or you're sitting there and you're having a beer late at night, you know.
Cigar. You like cigars,
cigar.
Too. Yeah.
Do you sit there and go.
Yeah, you're telling all my business.
I'm sorry. I am letting out a lot of secrets. I'll keep them close to the vest from
but
here.
But, Coach, do you sit there and go, you know, okay, people are giving me a hard time. We are in a six-game stretch. This sucks. But, Jesus, we lost three games by a total of 10 points. I mean, we easily could be whatever, 6-7 and whatever at this point and not where we are.
No, I think, I don't know which coach said it best, but you are your record.
Yeah.
I'm okay, and that part is the disappointing part because I know we are a better team than what we've, with the outcomes and look like. And I've been able to show our team some of the slow progress of signs of what winning looks like. I mean, we're one of the top teams in the country with turnover margin, which if you're a football guy, you know turnover margin is one of the indicators for winning. The area that really has jumped out for us, and I've continue to point this out to our team, to our coaches, and we just haven't created explosive plays on offense. Our defense for 7 weeks, like I said, stood up tall, and they've really held their own, and we haven't been able to generate the explosives. And, you know, explosives come in two fashions. One, a player making a play, or two, a coach creating an opportunity through scheme for a player to make a play. And we've lost the turnover, the big play explosive battle the last four games. And for us to win a game against a good team like Michigan, we got to get these explosives going on offense and continue to get healthy and play on defense the way we played earlier in the year.
Are you, based on what you said, are you seeing those opportunities when you watch it? Are you seeing opportunities that just aren't hit?
Yes, there's no doubt. I mean, we had a run a week ago that I showed our team where DeJuan pops it, and it's him in a corner, and it's a 15-yard gain that when DeJuan becomes a sophomore and he learns some of the fundamental things that he has to do in the one-on-one situation, that becomes a touchdown. And those are the experiences that, you know, young players are going through. And these are the processes that, that we have to go through, unfortunately.
How's Malik handling the losing streak specifically? I mean, I don't know his exact high school record. I think they were 11-1 at Spalding his senior year, but I'm going to guess he didn't have six game losing streaks in high school. How is he processing that as a freshman at Maryland?
Yeah, that's a great pointing out that, because there's a bunch of guys on this team. If you look at a guy like Trey Reddick, our inside linebacker from Phoebus, I saw him with his Letterman jacket on, and he won 36 straight games. He had that on the back of his Letterman jacket. Mm-hmm. And then you look at Zaire Mathis from Emotep. We've recruited a bunch of players that come from these type of programs. So, no, losing is not something that any of them are used to. Me coming back from Bama, where I went to three straight national championships, nobody likes this. And, you know, that's the part for me that I've been committed to figuring it out here on this campus for 17 years. And I know where all the dead bodies are. I know what it takes. And to have Jim and Diana here with the vision that they're bringing that ties into what I know it takes to win here at Maryland is why I'm really excited.
All right. So you mentioned Michigan. Home game, Cakes is going to be there.
I will.
What do you expect? What should fans expect on Saturday?
You know, first of all, if you look at the matchup of two of the what I think are going to be two of the top quarterbacks in college football in the next few years, you got Malik and you got Bryce Underwood, who I know a lot about, having recruited a true freshman quarterback there at Michigan, their run-first team, Sharon Moore, their coach, took them and was part of the national championship run a couple years ago. He's an O-line guy, so he'll be a run-first guy that's going to check our oil to make sure that we are still able to stop the run. And this time of year in the Big Ten, the teams that run the ball are the teams that have the most success. We're going to have to stop the run on defense. And then on the offensive side, as I said earlier, we have to generate explosives, and our goal is to have nine or more explosives in a game, which are runs over 12, passes over 16. We got to get those created for us to have a chance.
All right, Coach, best of luck. Always great talking to you. It's Mike Locksley, head football coach, University of Maryland.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, guys. See you next week.
All right, buddy.
Coach Locks presented by IT Cadre. Trusted insight from trusted insiders, IT Cadre. Michigan 8-2, 6-1 in the Big Ten. They may not be where they were when they won a national championship, but they're a damn good team. It looks like they're laying about two touchdowns
in
this game.
I'll be thinking about you and your former tailgates when I'm tailgating on Saturday prior to Terps Wolverines.
Are you going to the Scotty's Vodka?
I think I'll probably stop by the Scotty's Vodka tailgate.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't I go to the Scotty's Vodka fountain pouring out delicious Scotty's Vodka lace cocktails?
You blink and you've had six of them. Because you just keep going, keep filling up the cup.
I mean, that might be you at a tailgate. I try to be kind of reasonable.
I don't really drink that much, but once I get that flavor,
yeah, you just get going.
Do
they have like all the mixers there with them? Or?
They got everything in the Scotty's tailgate.
The fountain is
it's like punch.
Yes. It's vodka so with like cranberry, ginger ale, or whatever.
I thought it was just sweet and silly. I thought it was just straight vodka, and then you like cocktail.
Don't
make your own transfusion.
It's a beautifully diabolical machine.
It's a pre-made silly.
It just tastes like a sundae. I mean, it's amazing.
Hold on, what's in the cocktail?
I think it's Scotty's. When I was there, I thought it was Scotty's cranberry and ginger ale or something like
it's
that.
It's delicious.
Whatever it was.
It's so good.
Yeah, it just went down like the easiest soda
so
ever.
Good when it hits your lips, Valdez. Yeah.
What time will the Auville clan be there?
I mean, the game kicks at 4. Probably try to get there at 1:15, 1:30.
Are you bringing anything to the tailgate?
Nothing. Scotty said, don't bring anything. Just bring yourselves.
They're great.
Bring a handful of cigars or something.
He actually does like cigars.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'll do that. I don't want to be a complete freeloader.
When you said bring something, I was like,
yeah, I lost
his body
my swagger.
The problem is just Cakes doesn't really smoke cigars.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have to go in a cigar shop and just be like, give me something good. Give me a couple decent cigars.
Give me a couple decent cigars.
Give me something easy to smoke.
Yeah.
Long ashes to you.
Yeah, long ashes. I can do that.
Look,
when you're hosting something, it's always nice to have someone come by and bring something to the party.
It's proper tailgate etiquette. That's a good point.
Bring some donut holes. It's fine.
Yeah,
you know
go get some munchkins.
You know what always kills at a tailgate? And it's never failed.
Hey, where you eat cakes?
This never fails. I guarantee, if you go to a tailgate and you bring this item, it's always a 15 out of 10. The big giant Chick-fil-A, like chicken nuggets.
The nuggy platter. The nuggy platter.
With a squeeze bottle of Chick-fil-A sauce and some honey mustard.
Yeah, but they do way more than that. Because they kind of partner up with the guys around them, and they're all cooking. And it's all like homemade stuff, and there's chilies.
Yeah, that's fine.
And there's
all that's
dips,
fine. But I'm telling
seven
you,
layers
the lazy man's way is you place an order on the Chick-fil-A
app.
That's
the lazy man's way.
And you show up with that bag, and people love them.
It takes away the spirit of a tailgate.
Yeah, this tailgate.
Okay, maybe I'm cutting a corner or three.
This
or four.
Tailgate is a lot of homemade silly appetizers and chips and dips and pizzas it's good.
Let me ask you this, Cakes. What is your tolerance for a bloodbath? If Michigan's up,
well, they're 13
oh, it's
and
not
half
great.
If Michigan's up 35, they're up 35-7 at the half.
Oh, I'll probably stay into the second half, but not for long. Like, I might stay 5 to 7 minutes into the second half to see if there's
a pulse. He'll leave at halftime,
but then I'll probably split.
Sports Talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Plus, all season long, visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Coming up next, we open up the entertainment page. Don't go anywhere.
Dallas might think of themselves as back in it. You know, they were 3-5-1 when they lost to the Cardinals in their last outing before their bye week. They lost Marshawn Nyland to that very sad tragedy. He took his own life just a couple of nights after scoring a touchdown off a blocked punt in that game against the Cardinals. The Dallas Cowboys were back at it last night. There was a lot of emotion in the Monday Night Football game, and they look good. You know, this would be one of those situations where, like, you know, if we were still hovering around 3-5-1, 4-5-1, and you had a game like this one, you'd be a believer. Because they held the Raiders to 27 yards on 12 rushes, 2.3 yards per rush, in the first game of playing Quinn and Williams after the trade. He had a sack and a half. He hit the quarterback, Geno Smith, 5 times in the game. Had the best pass rush pressure in the game. He and Kenny Clark as D tackles. Dallas is a different defensive team overnight with that trade. Look, it's the Raiders. We'll see more on Sunday against the Eagles, but it's the Eagles. They can't score. They can't move the football. You know, if Dallas wins on Sunday at home against the Eagles, that will set up a game on Thanksgiving Day against the Chiefs where, you know, the winner is legitimately in it. The loser is probably out of it. Maybe not in Dallas's case. The Chiefs play the Colts this weekend. I was impressed with the Cowboys last night. Terrible team that they were playing. But they've been run over by terrible teams no matter what has gone on with their defense. Even the Jets moved the football against them with Justin Fields not that long ago. The Cardinals with Jacoby Brissett, you know, in their last outing, you know, rolled up, you know, 27 points in a win over Dallas. And yet, last night with Quinn and Williams, and he is legit, and I thought it was a crazy trade to because they're not going anywhere, but the Cowboys are one win on Sunday away from being 500 and thought of as a legitimate contender. To win what? Just to get to the playoffs. That's all. Back at 500. Quinn and Williams was dominant last night. Man, be nice to have one of those inside next year. Other news from the world of sports. James Franklin, the new head coach at Virginia Tech. You know, he got bought out for $50 million. And so, you know, part of the deal with Virginia Tech includes, you know, a settlement to be able to leave Penn State after that buyout. Look, James Franklin isn't my favorite college coach by a long shot, but he went in 12 years at Penn State, and the three that preceded those years at Vanderbilt as a head coach, he went 128-60. You know, that's 68.4% of his games they won. He was in the semifinals last year. He was in a Big Ten title game. Virginia Tech has had it bad for a while now. Does Franklin's, you know, trip into Blacksburg, you know, with a very rabid football fan base in a, you know, great college town, he's going to be similar to sort of the feel of it. Will it turn things around? You got to swing big if you're Virginia Tech and you can afford it. And Franklin is a big swing. Like, I just couldn't get over the fact that he was just absolutely over against top 10 teams. And every big game that he lost, it seemed to come down to one of those game management, clock management sort of situations, which he would not do well in over and over again. But can he win a lot more than he loses at Virginia Tech? If they give him the resources, which he had at Penn State, he can. I think so. They passed, I read something last night where, you know, Virginia Tech's board passed a plan to add, you know, another $250 million into the athletic program over the next 4 years to make this job super attractive. And so it is James Franklin, the first of the openings, of the big openings to fall, goes to Franklin. A place that will not have an opening next year, the University of Maryland. So over the weekend, the new athletic director, his name is Jim Smith, he wrote a letter to Terp Nation. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically I'll read the first paragraph, portions of the middle portion of the letter in the last paragraph. Jim Smith, new athletic director, and I think, by the way, a competent athletic director. They have been underserved in the AD area for a while now. He writes, "Dear Terp Nation, in my first 5 months as your athletic director, I've come to understand and deeply appreciate what Maryland pride truly means. I've quickly grown to love this university, our athletics department, our supporters, our fans, our staff, and most importantly, our student athletes. They are the lifeblood of everything we do. I stepped into this role at a time when the landscape of college athletics and college football in particular is undergoing unprecedented change. Over just the last 2 years, the expectations, requirements, and competitive realities of the Big Ten have shifted dramatically. To compete at the highest level, we must support and resource Maryland football in the same way our Big Ten peers do. A level playing field requires a level commitment. Coach Loxley bleeds Maryland, has deep, unmatched ties to the DMV, and has led this program to success unprecedented in our 133-year football history, including three consecutive bowl victories and three straight winning seasons from 2021 to 2023. Those accomplishments demonstrate what this program is capable of when aligned and supported. But in the 2 years since that run, the entire environment of college athletics has transformed. To continue building on this foundation, Coach Loxley needs and deserves the full support of our department, our university, and all of Terp Nation. We are fully committed to giving him and our student athletes the resources and investments necessary to succeed." So, Jim Smith, the new athletic director at Maryland, replacing Damon Evans, who was there for several years and left to take the job at SMU right before the NCAA tournament started last year, gives Coach Loxley his full support. Mike Loxley is not going anywhere. This was, you know, a conversation over the last couple of weeks. Mike Loxley was asked about it last week. He said he thinks he isn't going anywhere and he deserves to stay. Mike Loxley's been the head coach at Maryland for seven full seasons. His first season was the COVID year. His first year at Maryland was not the COVID year. His first year was 2019. The COVID year is a year that I'd almost like to exclude. It was impossible for everybody. They went 2-3 in 5 games played. So if you look at the other, the other 6 seasons that he was the head coach, he has a 35-44 overall record. A 15-43 record in the Big Ten. Let me repeat that last part. In the Big Ten, Mike Loxley is the head coach of Maryland, is 15-43 if you take out the COVID year. If you leave it in there, 17-46. I'm not joking. For those of you that don't pay attention to Maryland football, most of you don't. That is his record. His overall record at Maryland, 37-47, but again, if you take out the COVID year, 35-44, a losing record. But the record in the Big Ten, 17-46, take out the COVID year, 15-43. That's not good. That's not good at all. Even in the 3 seasons in which his team won 7 overall, 8 overall, and 8 overall, and went to 3 bowl games, and by the way, won all 3 bowl games, he did not have a winning record in the Big Ten. So obviously, you know, this is a resume that doesn't survive last year or the year before, let alone this year, in which they are now 1-6 in the Big Ten, 4-6 overall after starting 4-0. But, as I've discussed before, the situation at Maryland is unique. You know, first of all, they're just getting into their full allotment, their full share of Big Ten media money. Jim Smith, who was on with us over the summer, talked about how I didn't even realize it, that Maryland hadn't been getting their full allotment. It took 10 years in the Big Ten before they could started to get their full share as a full Big Ten member. They were essentially getting partial shares of the media money. Now we've got a salary cap. Now we have a ton more resources that aren't NIL driven, but they're media dollar driven. Everybody's got the same, you know, level playing field when it comes to a $20.5 million salary cap. Now the NIL part is still a part of it. It's still a piece of it, and Maryland is, you know, behind the Big Ten powers in that particular area. Jim Smith was very clear that they haven't resourced football appropriately during Mike Loxley's reign, but that his goal was to do that. I've talked about Loxley before. Even without that full resourcing, he has recruited his ass off. Maryland's had top 25 classes. They've got the number one player in the country committed to Maryland in 2026. They have a freshman class this year that's played that looks really promising. But there's no doubt that in 9 out of 10 of these situations, the coach is long gone. Long gone. But you've got an athletic director that wants to be patient, wants to resource it well, and also realizes that a $13 million buyout isn't easy for a school that has football a distant second in importance to its alum, to its booster group, to its students, even to just normal run-of-the-mill sports fans in the area that care about Maryland sports, whether they went to Maryland or not. They care more about basketball. We've talked about that many times. It angers people out in College Park when, you know, basically everybody that talks about them for even a moment says it's a basketball school. It is. It just happens to be the case. It's a basketball first school. In many ways, look at the attendance they draw. It's a basketball only school. But Jim Smith is giving it a try to resource it properly now that they're into the full allotment of Big Ten money and with a salary cap to see how it works out. Now, I know that Maryland people, the biggest problem they had with Jim Smith's letter to Terp Nation is when he wrote that Coach Loxley bleeds Maryland, has deep and unmatched ties to the DMV, which is true. I mean, I've really enjoyed my conversations with Coach Lox over the years because he's got such great historical perspective on what Maryland football has been, because there have been moments where it's been pretty damn good. Not, you know, national championship good, unless you want to go back to the 50s in Jim Tatum. They won a national championship in football. But the next line from Jim Smith, when he said he has led this program to success unprecedented in our 133-year football history. Yeah, that missed the mark by about 100 miles, okay? Like, Ralph Regan, the last good coach that we had in College Park, Ralph went to 7 bowl games in 10 years and won 5 of them. Now, they were in the ACC. They weren't in the Big Ten, but Ralph had a 75-50 overall record as the head coach at Maryland, 43-37 in the ACC, and they won an ACC championship in his very first season, and they finished 2nd in the Atlantic Division of the ACC on 4 different occasions. They were within a whisker 4 other times of being in the ACC championship game once that ACC championship game was developed. Big difference between, you know, 2001 to 2010 ACC and the Big Ten that Mike Loxley's been a part of. Maryland is truly among, you know, they're not in the smart group. They're not in the, you know, advanced classes. They are, you know, with everybody else. They're not Michigan. They're not Ohio State. They're not Penn State. They're not Iowa. They're not Michigan State. They're not, you know, whomever, Nebraska. I don't even know who I'm forgetting here on the list. They're at the bottom of the barrel in the Big Ten with Rutgers for the most part. But yeah, that part of the letter from Jim Smith, that should have been something where somebody should have read it before it went out and said, yeah, Jim, you can't write this. This not only is wildly inaccurate, it's going to make you look like you have no clue about the history of the program. Ralph's history, Bobby Ross's history of winning multiple ACC championships, you know, in the 80s, being a preseason number one team in the country in 1985 in Sport Magazine, the AP, they were ranked eighth when the season began. And Mike Locksley even knows that. Mike was there for all those games. Mike was on Ralph's staff for a lot of those years. I mean, Ralph was an excellent college football coach. It's still to this day, and I've talked about this many times, so impressive to hear people who will just randomly bring up, you know, the guy at Maryland, you know, in the 2000s, the quarterback guru, the offensive guru. That guy was phenomenal. Studied a lot of his stuff. Ralph, in the coaching world, unbelievably respected as an offensive guy and a quarterback kind of guru. Yeah, not unprecedented success. 17-46 with an overall losing record, even though they went to three bowl games and it was a lot better than the previous coaches, and he took over a program that was in shambles after the tragic death of that young man and that young offensive tackle. Okay, we understand what he took over as Maryland guys. And during those three seasons with Tua Tagovailoa, with Tua's brother, Talia, he was a really good quarterback. And they had some results. They won a couple bowl games. But yeah, that part of the letter, just a bit, you know, high and outside. Missed by a lot. That's where it's like with the it's like with our football team. I used to say all the time, you got to have some people around that can help the new people with kind of the avoiding of the big mistakes. You know, when Jason Wright was here, it's like, just ask a few of us. There are seven or eight of us just in the media that could help you avoid the dumbass mistakes you made over and over again. Like, just the obvious ones. This is one where, you know, there are 10 people. You could have just said, hey, read this letter and tell me what you think. And we would have all said, yeah, the part where you wrote has led this program to success unprecedented in our 133-year football history. Scratch that part. He's 17-46 in the Big Ten. He's 37-47 overall. It's this century in which you had a coach that was actually really good. Now, they weren't Florida State, and they weren't Clemson, even though he beat Clemson several times. Beat ranked teams, beat top 10 teams. I think Maryland's last top 10 win, beating a top 10 team, was Ralph. They beat, actually, believe it or not, Boston College was in the top 10. And they beat them at home. Yeah, that part, not so good. With all that said, like I said last week when we had this conversation, I'm actually okay with whatever way it fell. I would have understood if they had moved on from Locksley. Clearly anybody would. You'd have to be a moron not to think that if he got fired, there was some level of justification given the record. And at the same time, I said, if they bring him back, I understand that too. It's just $13 million, even though it's not $50 million, and it's a paltry amount in today's landscape. But if they can't find somebody to pay it out, he's got a lot of good young players. Let's give Jim Smith a year to see it with better resources. You know, I'm not a Locksley believer in terms of his coaching ability, but I am a believer in his leadership and his recruiting ability. So, I'm going to give you Maryland fans a chance here. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Mike Locksley got support. He's back for next year. He's not going anywhere. Jim Smith's letter to Terp Nation ended with, "I am confident that we have the right foundation in place. The enhanced resources that the position that position us to compete at a higher level in 2026 and a coach who can truly own the DMV. Every decision we've made reflects our belief in this program's potential and its leadership. We are fully committed to getting this right and making you proud of our Maryland football program. Thank you for your loyalty, your passion, and your unrelenting Maryland pride." I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm fine with this. I didn't like the letter because it was just so off in that one part. But I said it last week. If they bring him back, fine. If they don't, that's fine too. Why? Because it's Maryland football at this point. It's truly on the overall sports landscape in the DMV and in Baltimore, so far down the list. I've told you before what it needs. It has to win big. It's a bandwagon team, which most teams in the DMV are. It's got to be top 10, 6-0, with Ohio State coming to town for people to really care. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but it's got to be 4-0 and ranked with a big-time opponent coming to town. They were 4-0. They weren't ranked. They were on the periphery of being ranked when Washington came to town in October, and they blew the big lead. So Maryland fans, Maryland Pride fans, are you okay with Jim Smith, the new athletic director's decision to keep Mike Locksley? 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
301-230-0980 is the number. Thursday edition of the Burgundy and Gold today. Lenoe Willingham, Anthony Haney easing you up to 7 o'clock. Talking Terps follows us right here on the Team 980. Speaking of the Terps, big night last night in College Park for old Maryland. On the floor and off the floor. We'll start with the on-the-floor stuff. Last night out in College Park. Man, crazy atmosphere, first and foremost. I know some folks that were at the game last night, and, I mean, just a raucous environment. I don't know if Sheehan was there last night. We should have asked him that. Was Kevin in attendance last night as Maryland was able to come up with a big-time win over Mount St. Mary's in OT? Diggy Coit, though, man. Woof. Call him David. His real name is David. We call him Diggy. Diggy Coit went crazy last night, man. Just a dude that honestly can just flat out fill it up. The Kansas transfer that Coach Williams was able to land via the portal. 6 foot, 175 pounds. Not the biggest guy in the world, but he can fill it up, man. I mean, he was in his bag last night. 8 of 10. 8 of 10 from the three-point line. 11 of 11 from the charity stripe. Finished with 41 points last night. Did Diggy Coit, man. I mean, just a super-duper-duper impressive win for the Terps, and a really impressive performance from Diggy, man. Darius Adams also played his tail off, the freshman that Coach Buzz was able to land. And when you see a freshman guard get to the free throw line and have 21 free throw attempts and then drill 7 of them, yes, sir, sign me up. I am very much on board with everything that they're getting from Darius Adams. It's Isaiah Watts played big-time minutes last night coming off the bench. I mean, it was a fun game to watch, is the best way that I could put it. The Terps competed, and they were able to catapult a big win off the court into a big win on the court. The big win that they had off the court is massive for not just the Maryland Terrapins basketball program, but I would say local college hoops, period. Last night, University of Maryland landed Baba Olutotin from James Hubert Blake High School in Montgomery County. This is a public school baby now, so I'm really, really excited about it. He is the number 6 recruit in the class of 2026. and he was the number one recruit in the class of 2027 before reclassing this past year. He plays for Team Kevin Durant, and he is a dude that just gets it. 16 years old, super impressive guy in terms of like shot-making ability. I know we do this bit where we compare every talented skinny guy to Kevin Durant. Baba's like KD, though, bro. I mean, Baba can play. Baba can really, really play, man. He can rim run. He's switchable as a defender. He's super versatile on the perimeter. I mean, I love everything about the kid. I think it's a huge land for Coach Buzz Williams. And when you're a basketball coach and that's been around as long as Buzz has, I didn't even know this. I'm just reading the article here on ESPN. This is his first five-star. Talking about Coach Buzz, since 2017 when they landed Nikhil Alexander Walker, when Buzz Williams was at VTech. So it's a big deal for Buzz. It's a big deal for the program. For the program, though, man, I think you got to look at it like this. Just back-to-back years, we done landed five stars, man. You landed Derek Queen. You landed Baba. You got is Darius Adams a five-star? Is Darius a five-star? I'm not sure. I got to go back and look at that. But the bottom line is, to get a player of his caliber to come to the University of Maryland, man, it really just speaks to where this program is going and where they're going to go under Buzz Williams, man. They just landed, this was like 2 weeks ago, they landed Eddie House's son, Caden House. He was like the number 37 player in the SC Next 100. So that's a big-time thing. You think about House and Baba next year in College Park, I mean, they're going to be able to score with the best of them. So I'm excited about it. I think everybody that is a follower of this program, you know, should be excited about this. And my other thing that I was looking at with this is, well, if it's not Maryland, where's he going to go? The Final Four was Maryland, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Georgetown. I do want to talk about the Hoyas, though, here real quick, because what Coach Cooley has done here with this program, they had a big win on Saturday against Clemson. And I was looking at the AP Top 25 poll and their rankings. In the AP coaches poll, they received 16 top 25 votes. So they're a group that is starting to get the respect nationally for what they've been able to build here. But I can't wait, man. I said it top of the 6 o'clock hour. The state of college hoops right now is so turnt. The state of local college hoops, let me correct myself. The state of local college hoops right now is so turnt when you think about Georgetown being back on the rise, when you think about Maryland being in a tremendous position right now. They got a kid over at Virginia Tech that my guy Toby Altizer was telling me about. He gets buckets. We know George Washington over in the A-10 gonna compete week in and week out, year in and year out. Over at the Burr, I know I do some Howard College basketball. They're competing and think they're going to be a group that's going to be able to punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament. So it is going to be fascinating to watch the career arc of Baba. I think he's going to be a one and done, similar to Derek Queen. We'll see if he can provide the signature moments in March the way the DQ did. But I think Baba's going to be one and done. He may be the number one, probably going to be the number one overall pick during the 2027 draft. But this kid, he just gets it. His story is awesome. It's really why I've gravitated to him, because I've been hearing about Baba. I've been hearing about Baba really for the last 4 or 5 years, man, in terms of there's this kid coming down the pipeline, man. They're comparing to Kevin Durant. He's got the size. And his father, man, I think it was so instrumental in this, hearing some of the stories about the work that they're putting in the garage. And I know Walt Williams is former Terp and NBA vet that's really his personal trainer and somebody that, you know, was really instrumental in him making this decision. The Terps got a good one. The DMV's got a good one. And Baba, man, I'm excited to go see him do it, man. It's going to be really, really fun to watch over the course of next year, man. So shout out to the Terps in a really, really good spot right now as a program. We'll see if they can capitalize off of it. 301-230-0980 is the number. We're putting a bow on the show on the other side of the break. We'll give you a Thursday night football preview and picks next.
10 seconds on the clock. The three-pointer is up, and it's good!
Did we not have Johnny's call with Naki and Walt?
It was the first one I found. I only had a few minutes.
I will concede that I didn't ask you to do that until about 10 minutes ago. But we carry the Maryland games.
I had to find something.
Did somebody cut up highlights from the game last night? I know what your answer is going to be, no.
You would be correct.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We got to find that. We got to find Johnny's call last night.
We come into the next one.
Look, indulge me, people, if you will, here for 5 minutes to start the show. I probably shouldn't give everybody a heads up. I'm not going to talk about our football team for the first 5 minutes of the show. I'm going to talk about one of the best days in recent memory in Maryland basketball. I mean, everything that happened yesterday was incredible. It started with Maryland getting a commitment from Baba Olatunde. I think that's the way you pronounce it. There have been about 15 different pronunciations. How do you pronounce it, Max?
Yeah, Olatunde.
Olatunde or Olatunde?
Olatunde. I'm gonna. There's an interview that he did with a sit down with somebody, and they.
I watched that. She said Olatunde.
Okay, so she. So,
but I don't know that she's right because I've found others that said Olatunde.
If she was sitting right in front of him and he didn't correct her, I'm going to take that as the gospel.
Maybe he's just polite.
Maybe he is. He strikes me as a polite kid.
So we talked about this, you know, I think briefly on the show yesterday. Baba Olatunde, Olatunde. We've talked about him on the show previously. He is one of the top 5 to top 10 high school basketball players in America. He plays at Blake High School in Silver Spring. That is a Montgomery County public high school. He's 6'9", 6'10". He's been compared to, stylistically, Kevin Durant. He plays that way, can really shoot it, can put it on the floor, is much more of a face the basket kind of a player. He was the number one player in the 2027 class, but he reclassed and he put himself into this pool. He's only 16 years old. He'll be 17 next year when the season starts. In this class, you know, depending on the service that you would, you know, refer to in terms of recruiting, you know, anywhere from the 5th best player to the 9th or 10th best player in the country, Kentucky, Arkansas, Georgetown, and Maryland were his final four, and he selected Maryland. He will be coming to College Park next year. This is a massive 5-star get for the Terps. Buzz Williams signed Darius Adams in the spring, a 5-star player that had originally committed to UConn. He's playing on the team right now. By the way, in the game last night, 17 of 21 from the free throw line. That's a lot of free throws for one player to shoot in a game. But Baba is 6'9", fluid, smooth. Already, if you look ahead to the 2027 NBA mock drafts, he's anywhere from 3 to 6, you know, in the 2027 mock drafts. So obviously, you know, most would say this is a one-and-done player. Add him to already an existing class that includes a 4-star top 50 player in Caden House. And Maryland right now, pretty much across the board, has a top 2 to 3 class incoming next year. Kansas, Michigan State, Maryland are really the top three right now for recruiting next year. It's also the third straight year that Maryland's added a top 5 player, Derek Queen, Darius Adams, and now Baba. Baba's going to be, you know, this depends again because there's a lot of different ratings and services. And Diamond Stone was a top 5 to top 10 player when Mark Turgeon signed him in 2015. Some are saying he's the highest ranked player since then. Derek Queen was like 14 to 18. Stick Smith was 15 to 20, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood. So he's either the highest rated recruit this century for Maryland or the second highest rated recruit. For those of you of a certain age, you know that Lefty during the 70s literally signed the number one player in America. He was the Calipari of the day. He signed the number one player in the country in the 1970s to come to Maryland four different times. Tom McMillan, Moses Malone, Albert King, and Reggie Jackson. Four times in one decade, Maryland landed the number one high school player in the country. But Gary, obviously, you know, recruited some very highly recruited players. A guy, you know, by the name of Keith Booth was the big, you know, super five-star guy. You know, towards the end, a guy like Mike Jones was a top 20 recruit. But this is a huge get. So that started the Maryland basketball day. Then they played Mount St. Mary's last night. Before the game started, Pharrell Payne, arguably their best player, who had a gruesome-looking injury in their win Saturday at Marquette. If you haven't seen the highlight of that, he goes up for a dunk, he comes down, and literally it looks like he snapped his leg. And that was the speculation in the moment. Turns out, he's going to be okay. And he might play next week when they go to Vegas to face UNLV and Gonzaga. They play Gonzaga next week and UNLV in Vegas for a pre-Thanksgiving holiday event. So that was incredible news because Pharrell Payne is their one big, and he's really good. Then you had the game last night. So they were already missing three starters, Pharrell Payne, Miles Rice, and Solomon Washington, two starters and one projected starter. They're in a bind against Mount St. Mary's. They're down five with 2 minutes to go. And Diggy Coit, who's all a 5'10", 5'11", was a prolific scorer at Northern Illinois to start his career, then went to Kansas last year to play for Bill Self, but really didn't end up getting as much time as they thought he would. He transfers in the portal to Maryland as one of Buzz Williams' 15 new players. He's thought to be, you know, a guy that can certainly start, but worst case, he's, you know, their scorer and their point guard off the bench. He goes for 41 last night and Diggy dug them out of a hole, a five-point hole with 2 minutes to go. He had a three-point play the hard way, the old way, nailed a three-pointer as we played coming in to tie the game, and Maryland survived Mount St. Mary's in overtime 95-90. You know, Mount St. Mary's was a tournament team last year. They play a schedule, you know, early in the season before they get into the conference. Like, they've played West Virginia, they played Cincinnati, they're playing Ohio State. They typically play, you know, a lot of good schools early. Maryland was a 17.5-point favorite last night, so this was not expected. But Coit going for 41 on 11 of 17 from the floor, 8 of 10 from behind the arc. The big concern after they lost to Georgetown, we don't have any shooters. They got shooters. They got guys that have good strokes and can make them. They were 12 of 27 last night. You'll take 44% any night of the week. They also got to the free throw line 47 times to Mount St. Mary's 16. Their five-star freshman, Darius Adams, 17 of 21 from the free throw line. I know some people say he's a four-star, five-star, whatever. I'm calling him a five-star. He was close enough, and in some publications, he was a five-star. And they survived 95-90 in overtime. Coit's 41, by the way, the most points ever scored in a game at Xfinity Center. It opened in 2003, the year after the national championship. No one's ever scored that many points in a game. Now, the record, the Maryland record, he was within 3 points of the record. Ernie Graham in 1978 as part of the, you know, Albert King. Ernie Graham was a sophomore that year in 78. He scored in a early season December game against NC State, 44. That's still the Maryland record. Gravis Vasquez had 41 at Virginia Tech in 2010. But Ernie Graham still holds the all-time scoring, single-game scoring mark for the Terps with 44. Those of you that are my age or older, remember that if they had had a three-point line in 1978, it would have been 50 or 51 that night because he was hitting bombs all over the place. Ernie Graham was one of the great streaky kind of scorers and shooters of the day in the ACC. And for Maryland, those teams were pretty good teams. You know, they were tournament teams, Sweet 16 teams. In 1980, they lost to Georgetown in the Sweet 16. But Ernie Graham still holds the record. So Coit, had that game gone to maybe one more overtime, he may have set the school record last night. So a really good day to be a Terp and be a basketball Terp fan. They had a lot of good news. I'm gonna end with this, though. You know, in today's day and age in hoops, college hoops, you know, the recruiting of high school players is not as important as the recruiting of the transfer portal. It just isn't. You know, to get a really good player who's 20, 21, 22, or 23 years old and is a grown man is a big difference from getting the 16, 17, 18-year-old who's one of the top five, top 10 players in the country. You just are, you know, teams that have really done well in recent years have had older teams that they have brought up through the portal. Now, there are schools like Purdue that just kind of recruit and then keep their own players. Their backcourt of Hoyer and Smith is in their fourth year together. They're number one in the country. Izzo, year in and year out. You know, we see what Tom Izzo does. And my God, last night they, or two nights ago, they smothered Kentucky. I saw the graphic. It's like Kentucky paid $22 million for their players. Michigan State paid $3.5 million for theirs. I mean, Izzo and Painter are in an elite class. They've got real unique situations. But for the most part, it's better to recruit the portal well than it is to recruit high school well. I'm not putting a damper on this signing. I can't wait to see the kid. There will be a ton of buzz for Baba going into next season. And look, they've started off this season 4-1 with a couple of big games next week and getting hopefully healthier over the next few weeks as well. But an exciting day. By the way, I didn't even mention, last night, Derek Queen, the first-round pick of the Pelicans, we've talked about the start to the season that he's off to. Derek Queen inserted into the starting lineup like three or four games ago. Against the player that people sort of compared him to, they called Derek Queen last year when he got to College Park Baby Jokic. He modeled his game after Nikola Jokic. He played Nikola Jokic last night for the first time. New Orleans is terrible. Derek Queen's on New Orleans. Queen against Jokic, and it was, you know, they matched up against each other. Derek Queen, 30 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 2 block shots. Jokic's team won. Jokic had 28, 12, and 11, you know, typical triple-double. But do we have that sound of what Jokic said about Queen afterwards?
I do.
Play it. That's him talking about Peyton Watson. That's not him talking about Queen. The next question, I think, is about Queen. Yeah, so you heard the follow-up questions to the first one about Derek Queen. That's who he was talking about. Yeah, Derek Queen is a special, unique talent and really does. If you saw him last year in College Park, we started talking about him early in the year. That comparison to the way Jokic plays is apt. Is he going to be Jokic? I mean, Jokic right now is one of the greatest players that's ever lived, people. I know most of you aren't following the NBA, but Nikola Jokic is in the... You're watching, if you watch him, whenever you watch him, you're watching one of the greatest players that's ever played basketball in the prime of his career at 29 or 30 years old. He's that great. He's averaging, you know, once again, a triple-double from the center position. Averaging right now 29.1 points per game, 13.2 rebounds per game, 11.1 assists per game. I mean, when all is said and done, I don't think we're going to talk about him ahead of Jordan. I don't know that we're going to talk about him ahead of LeBron and, you know, some of the others that would be in this short conversation. But he's going to be on most people's top five list. No worse than a top six or seven list. and he's still got a long way to go. Now, for him, for Jokic, he's got a, this is a sport where it gets measured by rings as much as any other sport, and he's got one. He's got to go get, you know, another one or two, I would guess. And then you put him with three rings, let's just say, at the end of his career in 5, 6, 7 years, now we're talking about almost a lock to be considered one of the three or four greatest that ever played. That was a lot of basketball to open up the show, wasn't it? Let's get to some football next.
I think the Terps deserved it, but...
Deserved what?
Deserved the talk. Deserved the hype. It was a big night for the Terps.
Yesterday was a crazy, crazy day for Maryland basketball. And look, this season, I have no idea how it's going to go. And when Baba gets to school next year, every college basketball, even more so than college football, because just one to two players can legitimately totally change the fortune of a team, and you just don't know who those players are because there's so much changing. There's so much transfer portal, action going on, and you just don't know what these teams are going to look like. And, you know, even now, like I'm looking at the rankings, it's really hard to – last year, Kansas and North Carolina – Kansas was like, you know, preseason one or two. I mean, they had a terrible season. North Carolina was supposed to be really good. No. Right now, I'll tell you what, Houston, you pretty much know is going to be there. They're just so well coached, and they basically recruit the same kind of players, and they keep them like Purdue does. UConn's three, they lost to Arizona last night. Man, Arizona's good. That kid, that freshman, Koa Pete, is something else. Duke's five, but, you know, in terms of a lot of these teams, it's going to take a month or two, and I can't tell you what Maryland's going to be this year because they've been missing two of their best players, projected starters, and last night, a third projected starter. So we'll see what happens when we get into conference play. But they do have an interesting next week going out to Vegas to play UNLV, who at this point is 2-2, I think. They beat Memphis the other night, but then they'll play 12th-ranked Gonzaga. And by the way, I think that game literally starts at like midnight Eastern or something like that. Or maybe it's the UNLV game that starts at midnight Eastern. But Gonzaga obviously will be the biggest test they've had. They've got quite the non-conference schedule. They still play UVA on the road down in Charlottesville. And one of their first two December Big Ten games is against number 7 Michigan. So they're going to play two top 12 teams over the next 2.5 weeks. We'll see. It's early, though. But a good day for Maryland Hoops. Let's get to some football when we come back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.